Podcasts are having a breakdown. Bravo Breakdowns. These girls are going insane now. Bravo Breakdown.
And I would write in Boris Yeltsin.
Yeah. Good morning, students. I'm Lauren Davis.
I'm not.
And that's Michelle Baver. It's just a little Abbott and Costello type humor for you. A little George Burns, say goodnight, Gracie.
Oh my God, yeah. Does everybody get that reference? Everybody knows George Burns. He lived until he was like 150 and he had the glasses and cigar.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody?
In the film with John Denver, Oh God, You Devil. And we've lost anyone under the age of 55 already. That would kill.
Yeah, actually, everyone listening to this. No, that's what I'm just saying is like, you actually, this would be a great podcast for all the people who actually vote.
Yeah.
They get bussed in to vote. All the old people.
Yeah.
This is like what they're doing with the last minutes of their life. They're voting for a Republican.
Yeah.
Disgusting.
Yeah. And then like yelling at me and being like, so, you know, the
You're
other
Democrat,
day,
right?
The other day, a guy who I know from the retirement community, he printed his ballot and it said he meant to vote for the other guy, but it said Biden Harris on it. So I think there's an error. I was like, I'm pretty sure it did not say Biden Harris on his ticket. Because they're not running.
Was that George Burns who did that?
It was, yeah, George, the ghost of George Burns.
George Montgomery Burns from The Simpsons.
From The Simpsons. Yes, Smithers. They won the election, Smithers.
You really turn me on. That's what the ballot, when you turn it on, says. That's a Simpsons joke.
That's a really inside. I don't even, what's
Simpsons? Oh, it's like, I don't know what season it was, but it was Bart turns on like Smithers' computer. And it's like a naked Burns.
Oh, yeah.
And you, hi, really, Smithers, you're the turn me on.
Yeah. All right. So today we are discussing the most recent episode of Real Housewives of Orange County, season 18, episode 16. That was the episode that aired Thursday, October 23rd.
And we can talk about things that are recent.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Speaking of really hip things, we have a very special guest. He is the king of Dallas TikTok and a devoted reality TV super fan, Chris James Colley. Did I say that right?
Colley.
Chris James Colley will be on the show later. But first, we're going to get into the recap. Okay, so we start. This was a hot one.
This was a hot one.
And kind of a hot mess of an episode, I must say.
Yeah, like it was so insane that it was hard for Lauren to keep up with it. And she is like, this is all she's ever done with her life is watch reality TV.
It's all I care about.
This and George Burns.
Tamara, yeah, my two passions, my two majors, double major. Tamara, in fact, is like, she's actually invented a new way of doing too much.
I told you she looks like the Babadook.
Yes. And it's like, because she is keeping, like, all of this shit, like, it's like, even super fans, like, she's got so many plots going, so many side characters.
She's
and
just
Taylor
doing
can testify, and this
I know.
Message. It's like, calm
she's
down.
Just literally throwing anything at the wall, just hoping something sticks, and she's just trying so hard to make moments. It reminds me of, like, when I was, like, applying for colleges, and I just applied everywhere, because I was like, somebody's got to accept me.
Yeah, exactly. Tamara is the you applying to colleges of virtually like trying to get the heat on anyone else but herself. Like, it's like, I can't even follow.
I know.
And she's roped Heather in now, too. And now I can't understand what Heather's saying.
Sweetie, it's okay. We should say that Lauren's very stressed because she has been working and it's been really tough on our relationship.
Honey, I've been look, I don't want to get
baby
into
girl,
the
you're
election
not...
in Dallas, but you'll find when all the lawsuits come out. I know I sound like a Republican right now.
Tamara.
I sound like Tamara. When all the lawsuits come out, 10 out of 7 judges said that it was corrupt. No,
Taylor's husband is a lawyer.
Yes. The election is not, it's not rigged. It's not corrupt. It's more, it's like incompetence. It's like a level, an insane level of incompetence, which, you know what? That doesn't discriminate Democrat or Republican. So whoever you are, if you're listening, we love you.
Don't vote.
So let's go to London. Okay. So we pick up in that confrontation we can see the confrontation from last episode.
The only two people on the show who are getting glam. Everyone else is doing their own glam.
The crones who flew in their glam teams from London. How is Tamra affording to fly?
That's a long trip. I have to say, like, why don't they have, you know how, like, you know, really famous people, like, they have, like, agents in London, and they have them in New York, and they have them in LA. Like, why don't they have glam in London?
Yeah, why doesn't Heather use her
makeup artist?
Heather should use her That's Life team makeup artists.
They're dead.
No, it's like, that's so expensive. I don't know
how that's a long flight.
Yeah.
California to London. Well, the point is that Heather and Tamra are getting their glam when we pick up, and Jen is still screaming at Tamra saying, "You did a background check on Ryan," and then Tamara's trying to deny it, and then she's like, "I did, but it was just about real estate."
It's just, and then she's trying, to defend her timeshares, and all the money went away.
Timeshares, and then she's like, "Actually, it was Stephen. It was Stephen who wanted the information."
Yeah, and actually, yeah. Heather is like attacking Jen too, which is like really making Heather look crazy. Where like
Heather looks insane this episode.
I said I'm sorry, and Heather's like, "Hey, you need to stop screaming and pointing at her." And she's like, she's calling like my friggin' almost husband, like, you know, a crazy con.
Well, and she did a background check on him, which is insane. And then, you know, Heather in her confessional, like, "I didn't even know that Jen had a voice." It's like, fuck you, Heather. Like, her confessionals this season are really shit.
I know. I'm kind of liking, though, the dark side of Miss Dupreau.
I really didn't like the body shaming of Emily, though.
Oh, no. I think she's awful. I think she's being very unlikable, but, like, I think it's time for her to have a rough season. It's time.
Okay. Well, she looks like shit. The only nice thing that Tamra and Heather said is right, after Jen's her stomach. She had a good tummy tuck, and Tamara's like, "Yeah, she doesn't have a belly button." Tamra famously didn't have a belly button for a long time.
Yeah.
Remember that? She was very famous for it.
All I can think of is her, like, her third pair of implants, and like her always flashing them, and like then like when because of the blur on it, because
you have to do that when you don't have a belly button, you're like, just look at my boobs,
and then they blur them and it looked like a Barbie's chest because of how perfectly
fake
and plastic. But it was like something was disconcerting about it,
right?
There's something not erotic to me about Tamra, even though she's a deeply sexual person,
right?
So then it's the etiquette lesson,
which is so crazy. This is also so crazy. Heather's telling Tamra, like, "We're gonna have like an etiquette class," and Tamara's like, "What?" And they really do.
And this is my thing. It's like, so it's like, of course they want to have the etiquette class so then they can cut to old footage of the ladies being gross and like,
right,
you know, drunk and stuff. But it's like, guys, we don't have time for that. Tamra just fit in like 7 new stories. And now we don't even have time for like the shenanigans of like a lady being like, "Your fork goes on the right and your knife goes on the left," while Emily goes, "Shit, like, we don't have time for comedy."
Oh, yeah.
Right,
well,
now.
Okay.
We gotta
yes, Shannon's backed up. But she makes it to this dinner.
Yes. So then they go around and they do their, like, their good and their bad. It's like their pit is their bad. And what's
peak
the good
in their
one?
Pit.
Peak in their pit. I was pit. Like, the pit and the pendulum? I couldn't remember.
Okay. No, it's not the pit and the pendulum. It's very different. This is actually something they took from the Kardashians. It was a very famous segment on the Kardashians, the pit and the peak. They did that with their dad, Robert.
Okay. It's like your rose and your thorn on.
He's
Salt
dead,
City.
Though.
Yeah. So then everyone's doing like normal funny ones because they're like, this is a comedy.
Like, my pit
scene.
Is like, I'm constipated on the trip. My peak has been like, we got along.
Yeah, my pit is curling, you know, Emily's hair and all that. And then Tamra, of course, has to take it to a place of Babadook darkness. And she goes, "The pit was Jen yelling at me when it's all Shannon's fault." And it's like, Shannon's like,
"This is her birthday." Like, this is actually her birthday. Like,
yeah.
This is her birthday trip. Like, I know they do this a lot in house. Like, we're going to go to blah, blah, blah for whatever, whatever. But it actually really is her birthday trip. And, like, it is very sad in her confessional. She's, like, trying so hard to not cry and be like, this is the worst trip I've ever been on. And it's just because it's just been, I can't actually imagine how hard it actually would be to have something as horrible as the DUI happened so publicly. Then this woman is on the show dating your ex of a lot, like many years. And it's just, you're bombarded with it. And then your best friend of many years is shitting all over you and it's on television. Like, yeah. That's really difficult.
And I think it's like, Shannon thought she'd get a break. She thought she'd get a little bit of a break. Like, she knew Tamara was coming for her, but she was like, this is on the call sheet as like the comedy night. It's like dinner. Like, we're just gonna have fun.
Babadook?
But no, immediately. Like, 3 minutes in, full Babadook.
Yeah.
And so Shannon's like,
what was it called?
Yes. And then Tamara's like, you're a liar. And
oh, yeah. And then Tamara, you know, she's like, Tamara. And then, you know, when Shannon's like, this is my birthday dinner, I like, don't be mean to me. You're being so mean to me. And Tamara is being mean. And then, you know, Tamara's like, well, you're drunk. You're a liar and a drunk. And I was glad that Gina actually said, like, hey, like, you need to stop saying this.
The alcoholic stuff.
Like, well, and she's like, you have to stop saying this. This is her journey. She can decide what's best for her. You don't decide that. And it's making me uncomfortable that you keep bringing this up. And she's
and everyone's saying that. Jen is like, agreed. And so then the Babadook lasers in on Jen. And he's like, you are on my side. I'm your friend. You yell at me. I'm sorry.
Well, and I'm like,
having a conversation with a friend about your husband is a bookie. What's he going to do? Put a hit out
on me? Yeah, this is crazy. And I'm like, Christ, dude. Is the etiquette teacher still standing right there? Like, yeah. We are way past where to put fork now.
I think they had to just wave her away because Tam was like, I got this, honey. I'm going to
talk about her husband putting a hit out on me, which is the same as, like, maybe illegal gambling. I don't know. But, like, God, that was so, okay. Like, that was so past, like, I mean, Tamara's just like, there's not a line that she won't cross anymore. Like, it's just, it was, I was genuinely shocked by that.
It's just that she said that. Like, always at a 10. It's like, always at a 10. And it's
like, I've never seen her. This is also what's confusing to me. Like, we're going back and we're recapping all of these seasons. I've never seen Tamara like this. I don't know what that
levels.
I don't know what. Well, because it would be like, she's insane, but like, there's sort of a harder. It's kind of funny, and it's,
she knew how to backpedal. You know, she.
But this is like, this is so unapologetic. It's so heinous, and it feels, like there doesn't seem like a reason for it, right? Well, like, I don't get it. I don't know what she's trying to do.
I have a theory. The worst crime of all, to me, it's very confusing. It's confusing, all of the plots she's through. I can't follow all your bullshit. Right. And I think it's because she is pre-gaming too hard. She is talking to too many people about all of her ideas, all of her plots. She's got the podcast, so she's got listeners who can follow all this shit. And she thinks everyone can follow all these crazy thought processes. And she's like obsessing and like just cooking so much shit up. Like, she sees how much people follow reality TV, and they think that she thinks people can follow all this crazy bullshit. And it's like, honey, we can't. Like, we're getting an edit. We're not just, you know, you realize the whole season isn't just you, every scene you're in and then every talking head you've ever done. Like, we're only getting snippets of it, and I don't know what the fuck you're talking. Like, I don't know what your point is.
What the fuck they're talking about? And like, here's the thing, they're not even doing anything cool in London. They didn't go to any. They're like, I don't
know. They didn't get releases at the Tower. They didn't get releases at Buckingham.
They didn't even go to the what is it called? The big wheel thing. God, I've been on it. Now I can't remember what it's called. They didn't get. Millennium something, I don't know, but anyway, they didn't go anywhere. They just talked about it. They were like, oh, there's big, they didn't get to go to Windsor because the king was there, but then it's just like, I guess I've been to London, and there are a lot of places that you go where it says like you can't like have a camera,
but go to the bridge,
or at least do it off camera and then like talk about it. Like, I was just weird, like, I'm like, why are they taking an etiquette class? Like, they didn't seem to be doing much this trip except like attacking Shannon
and eating and doing glam. Yeah,
that's just like, fine.
You could have done that.
You
could
do that in OC.
Yeah, we're not really getting. Yeah,
go to Reno,
we're not getting London.
We're not. No.
Okay.
We're getting a constipated, sad Shannon.
Yeah. Speaking of which, Shannon the next day wakes up moaning.
Okay. Moaning Myrtle. Put me back in the bathroom, Daddy. is so backed up. Okay, I'm concerned that she just relies on enemas too much, and that's why she can't poop normally.
That concerns me, her using a lot of enemas and colonics, because we all know she gets them stuck.
Yeah.
And she makes them, like, an event for others. Like, it's like everyone's involved.
Yeah.
David's involved somehow. Like, we're all involved. We're all in the bathroom with this bloated Shannon.
There's a midwife.
Like... Right. And, I mean, I did... There's Shannon's crying, and she is freaking out, and she's bloated and fatigued. And I did like that Katie, another one of Katie's initiations for her first season is finding a water bottle for Shannon to squirt up her ass.
Yeah.
She's walking around London trying to find Shannon an enema. Whew.
But then they finally, yeah. do they just take her to the hospital? Or does she?
No. Katie brings her like the enema and they, you know, Shannon gives herself the enema and she says it's like giving birth to twins. That's how much poop came out. And then they're back to have a jolly good time.
They're back to eating more food. Like we could have done this with Downey, another bar. Yeah.
Yeah. That's the thing too. It's like British food is like, it's like so heavy. It's like a British, like an English breakfast is literally baked beans and like blood sausage and bread and like boiled tomatoes. It's yeah. Like
it's all
so
like
heavy.
white foods.
It's all white.
Mush. Yeah.
It's just white. White people, white mush. It's very heavy. Yeah, there's like nothing in there that's going to help you poop. Well, maybe the beans, but... But Shannon does poop, and then they can take the train, I don't know if they're taking a train. They're going to Windsor, though. It's in the country.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice. And that's when things get a little twisted this episode.
Yeah. Okay, so they're at this pub. It's cold as fuck. And so then everybody sits down, and Heather...
Because they have to, because their tummy hurts.
Yes, and then Heather sits down next to Shannon, and she's like, let's talk. So they go outside.
This was really weird to me, the way that Heather did that. I was like, you're not acting like a pro right now. Like, Shannon's literally, like, this way talking to somebody. And then Heather's like, what's that? Why do you have your back to me? It's like, huh?
I feel like Tamara drew her into the web of overthinking, overplanning. And really, this is proven when they go outside and Heather's like, Shannon's like, so, I guess we can talk about why did I shared with you in private that, this bloody photo of my face tonight of the DUI. And then,
we gotta just stop. There's just too much happened. This is so insane that this all was one episode and we're not even at the end.
I know, but we're so close. We're close.
This is crazy that this all happened.
I know. That's what I'm saying. This is why I really blame Tamara.
This is why you can't work. Like, I need you.
Stuff like a scotch egg, like a sausage, like a bangers and mash. It's stuffed to the gills. It's hard to release.
It's like King Charles's fingers. Yes. It's stuffed
swollen.
Up.
Yeah.
Swollen. He needs an enema for those fingers.
Yes. So Heather's like, well, I told other people because I knew you told Tamara. So I thought you'd told everyone and you were just telling me on camera.
By the way, it's so
suck me in.
It's like, so cold outside. Like Shannon's shaking and shivering and has like a heated blanket on.
Yeah.
Crazy. This is her birthday dinner.
And she just gave birth to, like, a shit baby. And Heather immediately is on her, like, white on rice, trying to explain this plot thing why she's mad at her that makes no sense. When Shannon's like, sorry, I feel like I should be mad at you because I told you not to, like, spread that around on camera about the picture.
And then they do flashback to her saying, like, don't do that. And she's like, well, I didn't know it wasn't public knowledge because Tamara already knew. But it's like... Okay, here's the thing, Heather. You've been doing this way too long. You knew exactly that you weren't supposed to say it, which is exactly why you brought it up, but it's, like, not in a good way. Like, it's just... OGs here are just sucking ass.
And this is where things really go off the rails, when Heather says, and it makes total sense, because back when David Bedore was cheating on Shen, she told one person and everyone knew. I taped it off camera. We had a confrontation in my house. Flashback to the confrontation in my house. I'm like, okay, I rewatched this whole show. I'm like fucking lost here.
Why are we talking about that where it's like, I'm asking you to leave.
Yeah, it's like, why?
I mean,
yeah,
it's like, it's like the time traveler's wife movie. I'm like, wait, what year is this? Like, where am I?
I've become unstuck in time. Like, what's going on?
There's some, like, in all of my favorite types of movies where, like, women are in crisis, like, there's some time missing.
They're always drunk and they don't know what's going on. Yeah.
This episode. I'm like, you know, I need to go outside. I need to touch grass. I'm losing touch with reality.
I feel like I don't know what's happening. Like, I am Austin Powers, and I was frozen.
Yeah, baby.
Up in the future, and I don't know where I belong.
The Austins here?
What?
Where's Elizabeth Hurley? I'm so lost. And wait, why is David Bedore here?
Yes, the last person I want to see. Okay.
Oh my god. Yeah. I'm enjoying Gina and Emily so much just because I hate Heather and Tamara so much right now.
They're at least like being kind of the audience surrogate where they're like, wait, what? Like, they're confused too. Like,
oh, because while Heather is attacking Shannon at her birthday, Tamara is telling Gina, like, hey,
she's
Shannon.
While Heather fucks Shannon in the ass out on the patio, Tamara tries to tag team her and fuck her in the ass inside.
No lube between any of these women.
Yeah, it's crazy. And so then she's like, oh, and by the way, Gina, you're such good friends with Shannon.
Your new friend Shannon. Guess what? She's a horrible person. She tried to find out that you pushed Travis down the stairs.
Because his ex-wife said it. And then, so she went to Taylor when Taylor was on the cast last season. And she went to
Taylor's a lawyer. It's like, whoa.
You're bringing Taylor Armstrong into this?
I am impressed that Tamara was able to memorize and deliver that monologue
it's cutting to so many back and forth between so many pages of text where I'm like, wait, I'm like, pause? Like, I'm like, I can't follow any of this. And Gina, like, her eyes are like crossing and uncrossing. And she's like
Travis's like, ex-wife?
And she was like, my thing is like, why are you bringing it up on camera?
I do have to say that I do really sort of, I mean, like, we give Gina shit just, you know, whatever. But I have to say, like, I do applaud her for, like, not really talking about something like this on camera because it, like, affects, like, her kids and, like, that relationship with, like, that, you know, their kid, like, the mom and, like, you know, all that shit. Like, it's so weird and kind of messy and it's complicated. And so even if she wants to bring it up on camera, this is not the way that Tamara's bringing it up. Like, that's Gina's story.
And I agree.
Okay. Well, you look like you're having a stroke.
On the other hand, on a TV level, I am a little glad that we are getting resolution on the real
reason
that Travis moved out, which is that his ex-wife is litigious, which I already knew from being a
everyone in the OC.
Let's let the casuals learn. It's because his ex-wife is like, you
okay,
know,
but I didn't want to learn. I mean, nobody wants to learn it this way from Tamara, who's only saying it because she's upset with Shannon.
Yes.
It's
I'm not saying it's a good move by Tamara, but I'm saying, like, I see what she's thinking. She's just lost it. You know, it's like, it's like, you know, that would be a good plot point, but not while you're like, you know, in the same episode that, you know, and pulling up all the texts and going through them and trying to make it blame Shannon and Heather's out there trying to get Shannon.
I mean, it's like this
crazy.
Same episode, like Tamara,
that would be the whole episode, I feel
like every meal they've had with Tamara on this trip has like been some awful like revelation or horrible thing that she said. She's called her friend Shannon like an alcoholic and a liar and a drunk and said that Ryan's gonna put a hit on her, and now she's telling Gina that, you know, Shannon wants to know if she pushed Travis down. I mean, it's just like crazy. And then like all this happens and then Shannon comes in from the fucking freezing cold
and she's
to, like
main, she's main
trying to eat
bread.
Her like
she's
like her
just,
whatever
it
goose,
in her mouth.
Yeah, whatever fucking goose she has to eat in this country. I love it there. And like, you know, then it's like Gina's like, well, now I'm mad at you, Shannon, because you did this thing. And then Shannon's like,
oh, Jesus Christ. Her mouth is full of like crumbs are flying out of her mouth. Like she's been off carbs for like a year since the DUI and she can't get them in her body fast
enough. And And then it's like she's screaming at Tamara, like, I cannot even believe that you would go so low to talk about this in this way. And she's, you know, she's getting up because this is what Shannon does. Like, she'll confront you for like 2 minutes and then she's going to walk away and scream and take her mic off and cry somewhere. And
then
she does.
It's so funny. And then it cuts to her confessional.
This is the craziest.
It cuts to her confessional and she says, I think me leaving that dinner, that's growth. That's something different. I'm like, you do that every time. It's so funny that she's like, I really grew up. It's like, yeah, five times yeah. this season. Okay, anyway, so you can get to the good part.
Yeah.
Now.
Okay, I have to say, as hard to watch as this episode was because of Tamara, like, this scene was one of the funniest things I've ever seen on Housewives
it's
ever.
Really good.
It's
really
so good because it's just like, in a way, it's like the most... Tamara's being a bitch and getting yelled at by her friend and Tamara's ruining a moment, but like it's just there's so much comedy. It's like squawking Shannon at her best, like mm-hmm. you know, she just wants to, you know, eat her bread, and Tamara's ruining that. And then the waiters all come out because this is Shannon's fucking birthday, Stassi Schroeder reference.
Mm-hmm.
And they're holding a cake that says, like, happy 60th. And they're singing that birthday song. And the candles are lit.
Shannon isn't even there. Nowhere to be seen.
She's, like
outside in the front.
Pushing the people out of the way, not even realizing this cake and all this stuff is for her. And just, like, screaming at a producer outside and taking her mic off and, like, walking into, like, you know... a castle or something.
Yeah.
She walks away.
And everyone's like, wait,
oh
no,
my
wait,
God.
No.
This is your pick. And then, you know,
Tamara
shitty.
Ruins it.
And she's like,
being like,
for me, bitch.
Yeah.
And being but like, it was a funny thing.
To me. I was like, Tamara, this, again, it's like you've lost your touch. Yeah. This was such a funny moment. You did the one thing to make it less fun.
Well, and yeah, that was the other thing. It was like, before she did that, like, everyone's, like, not sure how to react because it is just so funny that Shannon's doing
yes,
this.
They're like,
and they're like, but wait, Shannon. Oh. And they're like, I don't know what to do. This is insane. And they're trying so hard not to laugh.
They're trying
to tell
the waiters, but the waiters are, like, in full bass so profundo. They're like, happy birthday. They can't hear.
Well, you know, because, like, the actors over there, they're so highly trained.
Right, breath work
yeah.
is big.
Yeah. They all have BAFTAs, all those waiters.
All those waiters.
They all have a BAFTA.
Yeah. It's a prerequisite for working at a pub.
Yeah, if you want to be on a pub and bring Shannon a cake, you have to have a BAFTA.
Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, everyone else is confused and laughing. And Tamara's like, I know how to really seize the moment. Happy birthday to me. Okay, but that really did sum it up. Sums up the
episode.
Oh,
my God. It's like, okay, and then at least, like, next time is the finale because I can't take much more of this.
No. And I'm excited about the finale. I'm this time, they won't do a sneak attack John Jansen. I'm prepared to see John Jansen, so I think I'm going to shit my pants a little less because last time it was like, ghoul.
I know.
Then,
so scary. It's so scary. He's
yeah,
so scary.
It's perfect for Halloween night, which
right.
is when it will be released. So I'll say, Gus, you're trick-or-treating alone. I gotta spend time with my girls. I gotta see John Jansen.
Well, he can trick-or-treat with his father and
yeah.
or mother.
I mean, let's face it, he's 12 years old. You know, it's like...
Is this his little trick-or-treat?
Yeah. This will probably be his last one, so I guess I'll hit some of it. But then 8 p.m., Mama's got to watch your stories.
Okay,
Mama.
By the way, speaking of trick-or-treating, like, people need to stop handing Tootsie Rolls and, like, Smarties.
Yeah.
Like, stop being cheap, okay?
Yeah.
Just turn the light off if you're not going to get a Snickers or Milky Way to the children.
Yeah.
That's all I'm going to say.
No, I agree.
Because, like, my daughter's 3, so when we go trick-or-treating, she gets tired. She doesn't want to go to a ton of houses. We only, like, hit, like, 3 or 4. And it's like Tootsie Rolls for days. I blow my brains out. It's so rude. It's so rude.
You should drive into, you know who I bet?
I'm going to drive into a house like Shannon did.
You should.
And I'm going to bring it, and then you can bring it up. And you bring it up to me every fucking scene we ever have together. At least drive my car to a house. You liar and you drunk. Happy birthday. To me.
I was going to say, do you know who I bet knows all the good Dallas houses that would have good trick-or-treat
And candy. Not the best houses to drive your car into.
I bet he would know those two, honestly. Like the biggest, the fanciest, the flashiest. Because he knows everything that's cool and hot and sexy about Dallas. That is our guest, Chris James Colley, who will be with us in just a moment. Stay tuned.
These girls are having a break.
Good morning, students. We have an extra special guest here today. If you live in Dallas, around Dallas, anywhere in Texas, or you've just been on TikTok in the last year, you probably have seen this guy. He talks about all things fashion, food, where to eat, best restaurants, Botox. Please welcome social media extraordinaire and Housewives fan, Chris Colley. Did I say your last name correctly?
Said it correctly.
Yay! Thank you so much for being here, Chris. Sorry for the crazy start. We really appreciate having you.
Yeah, anything Bravo and two Dallas girls that love Bravo, I'm excited and here to support. So I'm excited.
Well, it's crazy because we just like found you independently. Like suddenly everyone in Dallas was like, have you seen this Chris Colley? And have you seen that it's like all of these restaurants that us people who lived in Dallas forever have never even heard of and are like the best restaurants in Dallas? How are you so connected?
How are you connected?
You know, here's the funniest thing is like I literally started TikTok the beginning of this year. This is the funniest thing. I feel like I'm not that connected.
You are.
I had a TikTok for a couple of years, but didn't post consistently at all. And the beginning of this year, so I work from home and I'll, you know, tell you all about my job, whatever you guys want to ask. And so I have the luxury, I have some time in the mornings and just like working from home, right? So I just said, I'm going to start posting every day and just see. Then I had this crazy accident with my wrist where I had to get 13 stitches, like a drunken thing. It was really bad. And I said, you know what? I'm going to quit drinking for a while. Not that I had a problem, but normally I do like sober January anyway.
Yeah.
January. Mm-hmm. And I said, okay, after this accident, like it was bad. I'm like, let me just like pause. And from there, I was like, I'm not doing anything. I'm working from home. I have a lot of free time. And so I started posting 3 times a day.
Wow.
A lot. But when you're just sober, you're focused. And this, I was sober for like 5 months, the longest I've never gone past 30 days. And so I was just determined. And then that's where it just started to trickle. And then it became this Dallas thing. And really the one that kind of started it all was the Dallas Chugi video.
Yeah, that was like probably like the first thing I saw of you. Like, is this Chugi? And then I was like, what's Chugi? Then I remembered. Are you originally from Dallas?
So I've been here since 2012.
Okay.
So what is that? Bad at math, 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
A little over 12 years. I moved from Miami.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I have always been in the fashion. So I worked for Nordstrom. Nordstrom moved me to Dallas. Did not love it at first.
Mm-hmm.
So worked at North Park. So just like a lot of the fashion, a lot of the Highland Park Village, I also worked at Highland Park Village and worked for a big retail brand and was a regional leader. And
oh, wow.
I knew the stylist. I knew the customer. I started eating out all the restaurants. Like I knew a little bit about Park House. And so just being around, there's nothing to do but eat, drink, and shop. And
mm-hmm.
so that's kind of where I pulled a lot of my inspiration from when I kind of started doing Dallas stuff.
That's so interesting that you're in fashion and you're a Housewives fan. Would you say that the fashion on Miami, which is my favorite Housewives fashion, is reflective of like actual top tier Miami fashion? And then same with Dallas.
Yeah.
We're excluding Larsa from the conversation.
Yes.
We're excluding Larsa.
Here's the deal though. Larsa though, like, okay, do you guys love, you guys hate Larsa?
The show, I gotta say.
Okay.
She's a wonderful mother.
Yeah, I do think there's some funny, like she had some, like I like anyone, like, you know, a lot of people don't like Ramona, but Ramona was entertaining. Kelly
yes.
Dodd, there's these one-liners and jabs that like, mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, she would like, you know, when she got to Lisa and was like, oh, well, I heard you run out your backyard. You've been doing, mm-hmm. you know, little below the belt things that one season. She kind of was funny, like you're sleeping in with everyone in the hospital. So mm-hmm. that I just thought she was funny. Are they reflective of the outfits? 100%.
Ugh.
In my opinion.
Okay.
Really all that Cavalli inspired, like yeah. all the super femme, like bright colors. I just love it.
100%. I mean, yes, they play it up a little bit for the cameras, but for the most part, mm-hmm. Lisa from Nordstrom, she used to come in and shop shoes before wow. she got everything done. I didn't.
Oh, wow.
She was with Lenny. Everyone knew her because they had the big parties on Star Island, and that's how she was like claimed to fame. She was married mm-hmm. to some really amazing parties with hot girls, but she definitely was going out to the club. She dressed just like that a long time.
Wow. So you've met Lisa when you were working in Miami?
I met Lisa. I didn't meet Jeff Lewis. So I was at the Polo Bar in New York and I was having dinner with my husband and Lisa walks in. She was really tipsy, but I was just like, I'm from Miami. I love it. And she was so nice, so sweet. And she was gorgeous in person. Like, I feel like she did a lot of fillers that one season and she
yeah. really toned it back.
Up. She toned it down in person. She looked beautiful. And then Jeff Lewis was there with the New York housewife. Oh my God, it's going to drive me here. Sia or what's the one on the new season?
Yeah.
I
know who you're thinking of. Sai.
Sai.
Sai, you got it. Yeah. He was with her assistant. And funny enough, a lot of people used to say it looked like Jeff Lewis like back in the day. Like, why? I'm like, I don't know if that's a compliment, but he was cute, good looking. He had kind mm-hmm. of a funny walk, I'm just going to say. But I didn't say hi to him because he was like, I just didn't want to.
You didn't want to bother him.
Yeah.
Right. And don't give him that. He would love that.
Oh, he would love it.
The McGregor walk? Like, what's his walk like?
The Ewan McGregor. He moonwalks.
Or Conor McGregor. Like
it was like the top was very masculine and the bottom was a little wiggle. A little,
okay.
A little...
I love him. I think he's hilarious. Mm-hmm. But like mm-hmm. he had a little wiggle to him and it was funny because he's so tall.
He is mm-hmm. so tall. Did you hear his show is coming back on Bravo? He announced it. No one else announced it, but he announced it on a Sirius radio station the other day or his podcast that whatever it is he does. Yeah, they're bringing
good.
It's going to be kind of, I guess, a reboot of Flip or Flop without, not Flip or Flop, Flipping Out.
Yeah.
Without yeah. Jenny. But
Yeah. Well, I heard him and Andy have like on his show, Sirius XM, like they kind of go back and forth.
They do.
I don't know if Andy was going to actually hire him. He's always like, you fired me, blah, blah, blah. So I'm glad.
I mean, Jeff is also like, he's just always remained in that sort of Bravo world. And he's very close to a lot of the housewives, especially Shannon. And I think like a lot of like he speaks on behalf of Shannon a lot, which is pretty interesting.
I'm guessing the show. I'm just going to make a guess right now, a guesstimate that I think the show Flipping Out is going now. Bravo is suddenly more interested in these crossover type mm-hmm. shows when before they didn't like that. I think Flipping Out is going to be more like the Jeff Lewis talk show, but on TV than it yeah. is going to be like actually like what
him doing renovations and stuff,
and torturing assistants and stuff. Like I think it's mostly going to be he's going to bring out all the gals.
I want Soyla to come back.
I know. Well, wasn't there some drama with Soyla?
Yeah, she like they had kind of a falling out, but then I think they came back together. But I haven't kept up with like the you know the Jeff Lewis. World outside of Shannon in a minute. So I'm interested to see him again.
He'll probably bring a lot of housewives on, you know,
yes.
that'll probably yeah. Be yeah. Speaking of housewives, so since you're like in the know here in Dallas, if they did a reboot of Dallas Housewives, who would you want to see on the show that hasn't been on the show?
So I actually did a TikTok on this.
I saw, that's why I brought it up. So I'm really...
And there's so many people that commented on some really good ones too, but it's like, I, no hate on the original cast. There's some people that I liked, but as I'm sure most of you know, I feel like it's not the real Dallas. Like there's a lot of money here. There's a lot of power players. There's a lot of people that are CEOs and just like badass women in charge. And so maybe a lot of them don't want to do it. Mm-hmm. I still think like right. Casey Rogers. So I added her to the list, even though everyone's like, she'll never do it, because she's really good friends with Kris Jenner, and just kind of seeing the Mary Kay behind the scenes, like that empire. Interesting. She's always on a yacht. She gets styled by everyone, also in the charity world, but she's really like a jet setter and knows some high profile people.
Does she drive a pink Cadillac? Like Mary Kay?
I don't know.
Oh my gosh. I see, know. I want to know. I got to see her.
She probably does.
I mean, that would be.
Yeah. She probably has a driver. Like, these people have jets, and, you know, I also thought just Mark Cuban's wife, just because no one really talks about her.
I have tea on Mark Cuban, and I'll tell you, and then we're going to cut it because I don't want to get sued. But
ooh, I don't have anything on Mark Cuban, but I have a good story that I cannot say on camera, but it's pretty juicy. So we'll have to
take I'm the only one without tea on Cuban. I have tea on his best friend, Brian, who hangs out with a lot of, like, you know, 20-year-old girls.
Okay, so we're all in the bathroom with.
No bottoms, like Winnie the Pooh?
Winnie the Pooh, just a shirt, no bottoms, and then moon boots.
Wow.
Like the ones you bounce on?
And we will definitely cut that.
Yes.
But okay. I would love to see his wife. I didn't even, I don't know what she's up to, but I want to see that sort of wealth. I like that.
A lot of people, so this is a new one too. I don't know her, but she is super cute, and she's married to this like bull rider. Her name's Kate Davis. So a lot of people comment on my TikTok saying Kate Davis, she's super cute. I can see her being a rising star. She's more of an influencer, but she kind of, I don't know if you have, like, I'm also like a very Hills Laguna Beach person through and through. Do you remember, Olivia from, The City with Whitney?
Yes.
Oh, yes, yeah. Of course. Oh, my God.
Olivia Palermo.
I think about her Shamu comment like every other week.
It's funny because it seems like she's actually like the sweetest girl on Instagram, and they made her.
How is she not on like TV right now? It's crazy to me.
But this girl looks very similar to Olivia Palermo. She's really That's pretty.
A popular face people, right now.
That's a very popular. Give me the Olivia.
Yeah.
Give me Olivia. And I don't know. She's married to this bull rider. So just like seeing Fort Worth, a little bit of that.
Right.
Patti Smith or Emmett Smith's ex. I don't know if they're still together or not, but I just thought that would be really interesting.
The beauty queen lady. So I met her in high school. I worked at a sandwich shop, Great Outdoors, and she would come in all of the time. And she would only get ice cream. And she'd show up with a big entourage and she'd only get ice cream. And she was like beautiful. And her, she used to be married to Martin Lawrence. Did you know that?
Yes. Wow. Yes.
One of her sons is Martin Lawrence's kid.
Yeah. So I like that, you know, and there's just also Jamie O'Banion added to the list. I don't know if you've heard of her, but she is the CEO and founder of Beauty Bio, but she's always just all over like Instagram and my feed and having fabulous parties. I also believe she's Mormon. So that's also an interesting take.
They're very hot right now in reality TV.
We love a Mormon.
So her and her husband went to BYU. So just to see her take. So those are just a few. A lot of people, I don't disagree, but like Erykah Badu, a lot of people were talking
about. Okay.
That would be awesome.
That would be fun.
That would be really fun. I know friends that have styled her and that are personal stylists. So she's got some funny stories too. But
she'd be so entertaining. And she's
like
a celebrity. Like, she's Dallas's like hometown hero.
And even if she didn't want to be on, like, you know, show up for all the things, like, make her a friend of. Who cares?
Right, right. So Charlotte Jones, I was talking about the big.
Yes, I was thinking Charlotte Jones. Yeah.
Charlotte Jones, just like Dallas to me, is also the Cowboys.
The Cowboys.
Basketball player. Like, everyone thinks of Mark Cuban. So see what that's like too.
Well, the rumor, like, there's always rumors around.
There's always rumors about Dallas.
I don't know if it's the old Dallas cast because they're, like, so thirsty. Like,
so thirsty.
I don't know if it's real or not, but I wish they would bring it back. It didn't really get enough of a chance. And as great as Leanne Locken is as a TV character, she's not, like, Dallas-y to me. She's a lunatic, which I love.
A lot of problematic comments, but the first season I did like her not wanting to go to Plano because she didn't want to see 635, and I was like, this is a girl who I know exactly where you live. Yeah,
she was really good for TV. She did make some definitely inappropriate comments and things that got her, you know,
The roundup.
Well, that was funny.
I know. They're just saying.
That was good. She was good TV. I had seen her before at a lot of events. So one of my friends, who I won't name, but was married to a Cowboys player. And so also when I was single, not married, I did go to a lot of these events and kind of like met some of the Tony Romos and those people. And Leanne Locken would be at all these events. So she really was in the charity world. Like that was really... her, and she was over the top, like of attention. So I think she was good, but yeah, she was not like the Dallas socialite and had the money or
like the opening episode, the premiere should be at the Cattle Baron's ball. Like that should open this season.
Yes,
that makes the most sense. Like
exactly,
we need to see more of the real she.
So back to Miami, Chris. I saw the other day that you posted a story. You were using like Leah Black's skincare. Okay.
It's actually a funny story. I mean, it won't go. Let's see if we cut it. So, okay. I was on my friend's good boat or a nice boat. And we just went out for a boat day. And he's just funny. He's not on social media or whatever. And I was just told, I was like, oh, I'm kind of growing on like TikTok. This is the time, like I have 26,000 followers. I think at the time I had like 14,000 or something, like just growing. And so he's like, oh, my friend's an influencer, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, okay, no, I'm not. This guy was on the boat is like Leah's right hand, like person. And
oh, wow.
Everything for her is running the company. So she's not really running the Instagram accounts or anything like that. And he was like, you know, I think she's supposed to do something with Jeff Lewis in Dallas. I'll try to ping you so you can meet with Leah and Jeff Lewis in Dallas. And I'm like, oh my God, you know.
That gag, was yeah.
Anyways, I don't know if they actually met, but they did do some kind of podcast. I don't know if it was in Dallas. But he was like, I would love to just send you her products, post if you want. Like there was no guarantee. There was no like deal. He's like, I'll just send you the products. And so I actually really like the products. They're CBD products. And I posted and I just like had told him, well, then they reposted it on Instagram, but basically took the video.
Oh.
Didn't tag me. Ask me either. So I was like,
oh man.
I'm like, hey, at least tag me in the video if you're going to take it, which is technically like you can't.
Yeah.
IP.
And so yeah, they tagged me and posted and all of that. But that's the Leah. Like, I don't know her, but I know her right-hand person.
But see, this all kind of tracks to me because Michelle is always like, when is Leah coming back to Miami? And I'm like, I feel like with her business, with the way she operates, she kind of doesn't want the – I'm sure they've come to her and be like, please come back. She doesn't want anyone poking any holes. Like, she doesn't want any stories coming out of the woodwork. So she's like, I'll just stay in my little corner of the internet.
Yep.
I don't know what I'm saying. Allegedly.
Allegedly.
I just want to see her have a party and yell at Larsa and then – go away and then come back. I like Leah. Is she, do you think, better at CBD products or being a housewife?
Wait, would she be better at CBD?
No, which is better? Which Leah Black do you like better? The one on TV or the one making skin products? Which is she better at?
Better at being a housewife. I think she's better. No shade with...
No shade.
No shade.
Yeah, no, she's great. And she brought us, like, I feel I would like this on Dallas, especially if it ever came back, because I love, like, drag queen friend-ofs. And Leah Black brought us our best one of our first drag queen friendos, and Dallas has such a great drag scene. So I would love to get Alyssa and Edwards in there as like a friend of when she's in town, when she's not going on tour.
Yes, that's true. There wasn't enough. Like, I feel like there were some drag queens shown through Leanne Locken because she's very in the LGBTQ community. Like, love that. We did bring a little bit of that, but we do have a big drag.
Yeah,
I was never really shown too much.
Shown exactly.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Recurring. Yeah.
Right.
Especially if they have a TV background.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. But I do want Dallas to come back. All my friends, I was like, oh my God, I'm so embarrassed. And when it launched, like, everyone was like, no, we love it. Like, everyone outside of Dallas really liked it. And people in Dallas were like, eh.
I guess because, like, when you live here, you, like, have an expectation of, like, what they're going to show or what restaurants they're going to go to. And, like, and then it was just kind of like, I don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
Actually, I had a friend who worked on the lighting crew for like, I think the third season. It was like the pandemic, like the big fight at the pool. And he was like, we've gone like 4 hours or like over and I'm just hiding. I'm not even adjusting the lighting. I found a place in the house and I'm hiding because these girls are going nuts.
Oh, my God. That's like my dream. Just to see a house, like I am so jealous of all of the people that got to be there for the like Quiet Woman fight with Kelly Dodd and Shannon Bedore. Like I would just, I would never, I would just feel like this is the greatest moment of my life.
Okay. Funny story. But I don't know if I, don't cut it, but I have someone that I met through social media who you guys should also interview. I don't know if you contacted, but he's very big on TikTok and he only does Bravo scenes. His name's Oliver Sims, but we might be reenacting that exact.
Oh my God, are you gonna Kelly?
Or Shannon?
I'm gonna be Shannon.
I love
Kevin. Okay, you love Shannon.
Mm-hmm. The Shannon has all the good lines.
Shannon. No, Shannon is the, we call like, her, yeah, she's our, we love Shannon.
The queen of misery.
She's the queen of misery.
I know. I've seen you guys talk about her. I mean, she does, though, I will say, without really Shannon this season.
Oh,
like, yeah.
What's going on? Tamara's?
Yeah, no, she's fantastic TV. I mean, she's just always so good.
Yeah, there's always drama with her. She's great. I mean, listen, Jen's bringing it. Not I like Jen. It, but like she's got drama.
Yeah, Jen. She's a
wreck. We love Jen.
A genuine wreck. And that
we love.
Yeah.
I love it. I thought she's never had a credit card in her name, drives a Range Rover, has been, you know, been evicted from this house, but has like the most amazing extensions. Like, you know, like I love it. And people are like, our dress is $2,000. You're wearing a Rolex, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, so what? And I'm like, I love that energy. I don't need to see Gina in her casita or her condo and her like,
we have to get rid of OC Junior. Let's, you know, OC Junior, they served their purpose for a while, but now it's time for them to go and like, you know, just keep everyone who's in the big leagues.
Honestly, I this is a controversial take. I would bring back Kelly Dodd. And that's a very controversial, but you know what? Her calling Shane a dork that one episode is so funny to me.
That's my husband's favorite scene of all time. Because
it's so funny.
Really?
But he likes Salt Lake.
Mm-hmm.
He likes Beverly Hills. He doesn't watch it all the time. Like Salt Lake, he'll want to watch.
Mm-hmm.
But he loves that scene with Kelly Dodd and that whole drama. Like, he plays it for everyone. That is.
I mean, it is so funny that
you're a fucking dork.
Yeah, she's like, who's that little guy over there? You're such a dork.
You're a little bitch. That's what he's
saying. Yeah, she's like, and Emily's like, that's my husband. That's my husband.
She's like, what? Yeah,
that's your husband?
She's like, is this real? Like, she can't be acting that. And like,
it's so good. She's, you know what? She's insane. But
if she could like leave the QAnon off camera.
She couldn't talk about like her politics and stuff. Yeah.
She can't do it.
What about Gretchen?
You know what? I don't think Gretchen would do TV unless she could be filtered to the heavens, which is like, when you look at her Instagram, it's like, she doesn't have a nose. Like, it's like, it scares me.
I mean, I don't even mind that, but her daughter is filtered to the heavens.
It's on scary.
I'm like, you know, let's
I don't like, keep face. The, I don't like that. Yeah. Do you watch any other reality shows besides like The Housewives? Like, what are your some of your faves?
I love, if it's Bravo, like I do love Below Deck.
Oh, okay. I don't watch that one. Sorry.
I love Below Deck. I fell off a couple seasons.
You good. Like, it's good. You could have skipped the past like three. Which one's your franchise?
I love, well, it's hard because it's like for Below Deck, for a while I went back between, do I like Captain Sandy?
Yeah.
Or Captain Lee? It's like, I also love The Traitors. And so from Below Deck, and I'm blanking the name, who's the star of Below Deck, who was on The Traitors, which is one of my favorite shows.
Hannah on Traitors Australia?
No.
The Chief Snoop?
No. The blonde that was with Captain Lee that like really started Below Deck. She's
Kate Chastain.
Kate Chastain.
Kate is my favorite.
Go to like old classic Below Decks. Like she was just ripping into the girls and just funny stuff. And so Traitors, I've been really into and watched season one, season two. Cannot wait for season three.
I'm so rock hard. I'm so excited.
Like I'm obsessed.
That's with Dorinda. So I'll watch that.
Dorinda's going to be on there.
Sandoval's
going to be on there.
Scary.
It's really good. And then I started with Omarosa and then New York. What is it called?
Oh, House of Villains.
House of Villains. Yeah.
It's that. I love House of Villains. Have you finished season one?
Two episodes.
I just started it.
I watched season one a couple episodes, but then I was two episodes in on season two because when she was talking with Teresa.
Yeah.
Because of your hairline, I was like, wait, I gotta watch it.
This is so good. Yeah. New York is like, she will always be an important person in my life.
I have every single line of hers memorized.
I love her.
Every single episode of Flavor of Love.
Like, I love her. She's like the blueprint, truly. Like,
it's like is there anyone else in any form of entertainment where they invented the form of entertainment? Like she invented being the reality TV villain and she's still the GOAT. She's still at the top of her game. She's LeBron. It's crazy, dude. Like,
yeah.
She really did. She really,
top tier.
But I do miss New York Housewives, like the old
school, like Bethany. She's really, I mean, I know she's big on TikTok now, but I miss her spreading her legs to Ramona and saying, mention it all. And that same episode, having a breakdown to Luann because she thinks that Tom's not a good guy and doesn't want her to get married to him. Yeah.
As a TikTok star, I have to ask you, what is your take on Bethany? Do you think she's just trolling? Like, where she's like, I don't care if people hate me or like me, I want attention. Or do you think she still thinks she's relatable? Like, which one is it?
You know what? All my close friends love her and love
on TikTok?
Yeah, they make the coffee drinks and everything. Like, I thought the Chanel thing was way, there's something really plays it out for TikTok to get more of a TikTok following. Because I think now it's like, this is what she's got the other businesses, but I don't really hear about them. Like, I don't know. Like, she did a podcast, Rewives.
Yeah.
That. And then there's some other side things where you don't really hear about. So I feel like she is kind of capitalizing on TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
Also, it's going to get other products or whatever else she's trying to push out there. But so I feel like some things she's drawn out, but I do feel she gives an honest take on a lot of things that people relate to. So I don't hate it. Like she was just talking, example, about she was on SNL.
The bucket of fish.
The bucket, like they were making fun of her, which that was a really good SNL. And she was just like, listen, I don't care. I'm going to do me. If they're, you know, making fun of me on SNL, I've made it. You guys are here.
Like, We're talking about her. I mean, like, her social media presence is
loud.
But you know what? That's also how, I will say, like, that's how Bethany always has been. Like, even when she was on Housewives, she's like, I'm a know-it-all. And if you want to know it all, like, come to me. Like, she would always just be like, that way, like, do I need to see Bethany Frankel sitting on her hotel floor eating a bucket of crab? Like, not really, but like it's very memorable and everyone knows that TikTok.
Yeah.
She looked deranged, but
yeah, she's, I don't
get to me that cinema, you know.
Yeah. I don't tune in. I don't go to her TikTok directly and start watching them. If they pop up, I will, or people send them to me.
It will show up for you. Yeah. It just shows up. She's just there.
She's FYP. Yeah.
With her.
Exactly.
With her fish allergy. Her fish allergy. But she's making tuna sandwiches.
And we have. Salad. Yeah.
The chicken salad. I mean, I don't even like, I don't follow Bethany on TikTok. I guess because I just like watch a lot of Housewives and stuff on TikTok. But like every time I would be like, is this the same TikTok she already did? Like, am I watching the same one? And it was like a different TikTok about a different place she got a chicken salad. And I feel like this went on for weeks.
Well, you know, she comes to Dallas a lot.
I saw that she's like, she loves Central Market, and like, I don't know, she's here for business, but I don't know what the business is, but she's always staying at like the Four Seasons.
The mansion.
Yeah.
Why do you think she was
here? Mansion at all.
Like mansion for TikTok? Mansion at all.
I love the mansion. I do love
it. Yeah.
I've never stayed there.
I've eaten there.
But... I've stayed there.
Oh, wow.
And I'm trying, well, not trying. I already have like one hotel that's wants to do it, but I do want to do a hotel series too.
Mm-hmm.
Show people like, because a lot of people ask me, what's the best spot? I mean, I get a lot of questions and crazy, crazy recommendations or just things where I'm like, what? and I get a lot of crazy messages. but people want to know about like hotels. Like, I feel like when everyone... I have a lot of people obviously come to Dallas. There's tons of business here and people are traveling in all the time. And they're always like, where do you stay?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And to be honest, a lot of people are like at the Warwick when they come in for work on their corporate card and they don't ask me before, or they're like staying at the Lumen or some other just kind of like not so great spots. And I don't know if we have honestly the best hotels, but I do want to showcase more of the Jewel, the Adolphus, the Mansion, the Swexon, Crescent,
Crescent,
the Thompson's up there too. Like, I want to showcase and show the spas and show the amenities, and because you could do a cute little staycation, you know, so
and get those hotels to sponsor it. Seriously,
exactly,
exactly, Now you're that's thinking of like Bethany.
Yeah. And if any hotels would like to sponsor Lauren and I, we will stay at a Holiday Inn. We will stay at a Comfort Suites.
Yeah.
But the Suites.
I'll stay at a Roadway Inn, baby. I don't care. I love a hotel. Lauren,
okay, here's the thing, Chris. Lauren acts like she's like from trash. She's from Highland Park. But she doesn't like to talk about it. And she tells people that she was like the poor
superintendent, and that's how we could afford to live there, is that we didn't have to pay property taxes. Okay. I mean, we were upper middle class, but I was treated like an urchin. More based on my behavior than my status.
She graduated with Matt Stafford and Clayton Kershaw.
I did.
Oh wow.
Same year. Actually, Matt Stafford, little story about
him. He was mean to her.
This, well, not mean. Okay, so it was like, he was mean too. That was his story. So this is a story. This is like, maybe this will disgrace him. Because
cut this.
When he was 10 years old and we were in fifth grade, there was a kickball tournament, okay? And so we got all the way to the end because we had Clayton Kershaw and Matthew Stafford on our team. So we were like going to dominate. And then actually we were in a tie with the last, like on the finals, right? And I was up to bat and they said, Lauren, switch places with Matthew Stafford. And I said, okay. And then we won. So he's a cheater, you guys. That's all I'm saying.
Well,
back in the day.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for joining us. We've already kept you over. You've given us so much great information. And we're definitely going to release some TikToks of these combos and tag you if that's okay.
Yes.
Where can our listeners/viewers find you on TikTok, Chris?
At Chris James Colley, and the same handle on Instagram.
Okay. So we also end every episode with something called an oral exam. It's just like a 1-minute essay, which is just like a rant or whatever, on a pop culture topic of your choice. Would you like to join us and do one? No pressure though.
No pressure. And Lauren and I will go if you want to watch, and then you can make the decision if you.
Yeah, go and I'll partake. I'll do it.
Okay. So this is Michelle Babers' oral exam. Her time starts now.
in this essay, I will prove, I'm sorry, Texas Montauk, but you are so not about to happen. Lauren, Chris, I don't know if you know this, but there's these girls in Texas trying to start a mom talk, and the ringleader was on season 15 in Big Brother. Her name is Erin Williams, and she was very controversial because big fat racist. And she has started two mom talk groups, one in South Texas, which isn't really in South Texas. It's in like Austin, San Antonio, and then also one in Dallas, but also one of the girls in the Dallas TikTok lives in Houston, and another one lives in Oklahoma, so it doesn't make any sense. And she also made them all sign NDAs, and she also is on TikTok saying, to all the haters that are mad at me, you're just making me blow up. And it's like, they're not hating on you, they're just showing clips of when you were on Big Brother being racist. Yeah. So I'm sorry, there. If you want to do a mom talk in Texas, don't do it with a racist person. And there's more than just white people in Texas. And time.
Yes. Very yes. Well done. Her original name was Erin Grease. And I just watched the season. I watched a lot of reality TV. She is the most racist person and least apologetic I've ever seen. She hit every ethnic group, man. She hit every slur.
And gay people. Like, it was insane. And then she also, like, when she tried apologizing, she's like, I didn't know it was wrong. And, you know, I'm just from Texas. And it's like, it's not.
It was from San Marcos, the most liberal place in Texas. Like,
mm-mm.
Whatever, dude.
And I'm sorry, the extensions, they're a no.
Yeah. And also, it's like, I'm kind of happy she's doing it because, like, when I found out that now she's like an MLM millionaire mommy influencer and no one remembers her because she changed her last name when she got married, I was like, damn, this sucks. But now, guess what? You decided to, like, go too far, and now everyone's coming for your racist ass. So I'm happy that she's getting her comeuppance finally.
And Jason, don't cut this. She can try to sue me with her MLM money.
Yeah. She can.
That was good.
Okay, so this is my oral exam, and my time starts now. Okay, in this essay, I will prove that even though I did go to Highland Park, Michelle Baber is always giving me shit for it, even though I explained the situation that I was just upper middle class and that my grandpa was business superintendent. We lived on the same land with property, so we did have property taxes. And in fact, Michelle was wealthy enough growing up. She went to synchronized swimming classes. She had a pool in her backyard, synchronized swimming groups. Like, she went to clubs. She toured around. That's not cheap, okay? Synchronized swimming, how do you even get into that? It's like getting into dressage, okay? That is a rich person sport. So I'm tired of the attitude. I'm tired of the erasure. We grew up equally upper middle class, okay? And so I don't want to hear any more of it from you.
Okay, that wasn't even pop culture related. You were just attacking me. I went to Pierce. I went to Richard. I grew up in Richardson.
Yeah, but Pierce is still, like, bougie.
I mean, not the part where I went.
Okay.
Do they have to keep
No, they just have
to. No. Lauren just is yelling at me. You're rich, Lauren.
I'll let it know if it's going to be a minute, but this essay goes out to Tamra Judge. You claiming to be autistic is honestly, like, I know you're getting a lot of backlash, but it was the last failed attempt, in my opinion, to cover up how you've been acting during the season. And the fact that it's your first appointment and you're diagnosed that, come on, it makes no sense. And also, let's be real, the storyline is not really going anywhere. So your storyline is kind of attacking people in the jugular to get those ratings and shock value. And I think you're trying to save your spot. And it does sadden me because in the beginning, Tamra, really love you. A lot of great moments when you threw the wine on Gina. I mean, there's some iconic moments, the Tres Amigas, but let's regroup, figure it out, because this is not the storyline and you're just going backwards. And cover up some of the arms, like the things are like the plastic surgery. Like, it's just a little bit too much, Tamra. So let's take it.
So well said. This is something that we're saying. It's like this. It seems like she's lost her touch. Mm-hmm. Like the autism thing is so wild,
so
especially
crazy.
Because my therapist can't diagnose you. And it was her therapist. It was a woman she'd known for 10 years and then went to like a friend and then went to therapy.
Yeah.
I just want her to live in 2024, you know, and like stop trying to live in the past. And like,
it is hard because I really do miss. She was the best, you know, like she used to be so good. And it's just like, it's so hard to see how far she's fallen.
I know.
You know, it's like when you thought like it couldn't get worse for Tamara just being friends with Teddy, it got worse.
Yeah. Wait, you like Teddy?
No.
Okay. Nobody likes Teddy.
Like, what? No, we found someone.
John Mellencamp doesn't like Teddy.
True. Yeah. Ooh. And Ryan, his ex-wife, America's sweetheart herself, doesn't like Teddy. Wouldn't go.
I think that they like Teddy. I think Teddy's a nice person. She's just not great TV.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
Yeah. But
I'm sure she's sweet.
Yeah, I think that she's sweet.
She's sweet, and she's what she's doing teaching women anorexia is so important. I would never say anything bad about her. No, don't count it. Everyone knows. Everyone knows. So she did it. Okay, thank you so much, Chris, yes, for joining us.
This is so fun. Thank you so much for doing this.
Yes, hopefully I'll see you guys out. We'll have some wine or something.
Yes, tell us where to. Yeah, tell us. We don't know. We'll go to Highland Park somewhere. And
yes.
Park Village.
Yes. We'll go to Honor Bar.
Ooh, I love it.
Ooh, let's do it. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
These girls are having a breakdown. Bravo breakdowns. These girls are going insane now. Bravo breakdowns.